It is so good to see everybody here this evening. I am honored that you have invited me to come and to speak to you from the Word of God. There's absolutely nothing I enjoy more than having the Word of God flow from my mind and my heart into other people's minds and hearts. And it is my sincere hope and desire that the sermon I prepared for you this evening is worthy of the effort that you put forth just to be here tonight. I hope when you're going home, you'd be glad you came. My sermon tonight is entitled, Continual Reorientation in an Ever-Changing Life. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, I'm reading from the outline now, "While we didn't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." If you can see it, it's temporary. You know your new car, it's temporary. The house you're living in, it's temporary. Your physical body, yes, it's temporary. If you can see it, it's temporary. It's falling apart, it's going to decay, it's going to die. That's reality. But there is something else that is eternal. From Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it's not on your outline, so you might want to add it. "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What is above is unseen. What is above is eternal. And we need to set our mind on those eternal things, not the temporary. But we live in the temporary. And there's one thing for sure about the temporary. It is continually changing. Whenever we lived in Searcy, Arkansas the first time, we used to have people over to our house and we had this game that we played. You may have played it before or seen it played. And we would all get a bat and you would put your head down on the bat and then you would run around the bat. And after you ran around the bat about 10 times, then you would drop the bat and try to run. And you had the goal you were trying to run to and obviously you would all run sideways and fall down. Then you'd get up and try to get your orientation as quick as you could and see the finish line and press on and finish the race. I use that example because that's pretty much the way life is as a Christian. We understand this world is not our home. We understand there is eternal life in heaven with God above, and that's what we're pressing on to try to get to. But in our life that is continually changing, sometimes the changes are so drastic and so big that we have to come reoriented as to exactly where am I now? What's going on around me now? And then keep my focus on where it is I'm trying to get to where we really in our lives have to reorient ourselves over and over and over again to get up, to see the finish line, and to press on as best as we can to try to finish this race. To keep our mind set on what's above and keep pressing on toward it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." If you're familiar with Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it talks about opposites, how there's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry, there's a time of war, a time of death. Life is like a roller coaster. Sometimes you may find yourself laughing, it's a wonderful day, and in the blink of an eye, it becomes one of the worst days of your life because the bottom completely falls out. That is the way life is. And to everything, there's a season, time for every purpose. And so sometimes we got to figure out, and wisdom is this, wisdom is understanding where you are, recognizing the moment and understanding what do I need to do at this moment. And as I told you, in life, there's continual change. If there's one thing that's constant, it's continual change in your life. And so as the changes are coming, figure out where you are and understand what you need to do to get reoriented, to press on to the end of the race. In our sermon, we're just going to be going through some of the changes that we deal with in life. The first thing in the change I want to talk with you about is finances. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11 says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle of the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, for favor, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Now, generally speaking, in the battle, the largest, strongest army wins. But not always. Generally speaking, if you're a wise man, you're going to have plenty of bread to eat. Generally speaking, but not always. Generally speaking, if you have understanding and skill, you're going to do well in life. But not always. Time and chance happens to them all. Sometimes you haven't done anything wrong. You're doing the best you can with what you got, where you are, and the bottom falls out. And it's not your fault. You really hadn't done anything wrong. You're just at the wrong place at the wrong time. I can't begin to tell you how many people's lives I've known who have changed literally in the blink of an eye. Being in the wrong place sometime at the wrong time, and things completely fall apart. And you have to get up and figure out, okay, where am I now? How did I get here? I didn't plan it this way, but it's where I am. This happens a lot in finances. In finances, yes. The next verse here from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5 says, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." All right, every person here needs to learn this verse. Because this is reality. You're trying to gain income, you're trying to save, you're trying to do the best you can to bring any income to where you can take care of yourself and your family, and all of a sudden it's all gone. And you're like, okay, all right, let's try it again. And so you get after it again, you're doing the very best you can again, hold it all together, pay for everything, and you think you're doing good, and boom, it's all gone. How many of you make schedules? I make a schedule every day. I do budgeting every week, every month, every year. I'm a list guy. But let me tell you sometimes, folks, there are things you can't plan for. Haggai says in chapter 1 and verse 6, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, and you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm." Now look at this last part. "He who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." You ever feel like your bag's got a hole in it? To where you're doing everything you can to get as much income in as you can, and you ain't got enough. And how many of you, when you're making your plans, say, "Okay, today I'm going to have a flat tire. Today my car is going to break down. Today I'm going to be in a wreck." How many of you plan to say, "Oh, today I'm going to have a heart attack. On Tuesday, I'm going to find out I have cancer." I don't care how good you plan your budget and your finances, how good you are scheduling, you don't know what's coming. But you need to know this. For sure what's coming is change. And sometimes changes happen quickly in your finances, and it doesn't matter how good you are at finances, the bottom falls out, and you ain't got a bag with holes in it. I'm just curious, you ain't got to raise your hand. How many of you men like to be in control? How long have you figured out you're not in control? I'm not in control. Because I can't plan life. As good as I try, I can't see all the things that are going to fall apart around me. And it's falling apart because it's temporary. Your car is crying out, "Fix me." Your house is crying out, "Fix me." Your body is screaming, "Fix me." And we're doing the best we can to hold it together as best we can with what we got as long as we can. And in the end, it's still going to fall apart and die. It's kind of discouraging, isn't it? Have you ever gotten to where you were almost out of debt? I remember one time, Linda and I said, "Linda, we're out of debt." At the end of the week, we weren't out of debt anymore. And the next time we got to where we were out of debt, I actually came to her and I whispered her,
Linda, we're out of debt.
I was almost afraid to say it loudly because you don't know what's coming. And sometimes you have a bag and it seems like it's got a hole in it. And as hard as you're doing, you bring it in, they just keep going out. And it's going out faster than you can bring it in. And we start panicking. All right, now I've described the problem to you and the reality of finances in our life. What is it that we need to keep our focus on through all of this? I need to hear this sermon. We need to keep our focus on the eternal. And we need to trust that our God knows where we are. What is the primary message of the entire Bible? Old and new together. What's the big lesson? The Lord will provide. He will. You are His children. He knows where you are. He will provide your needs. Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 34. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This verse is telling me not to worry. Not to worry about my clothing that I want to wear, food I'm going to eat, thing I'm going to drink. God knows what my needs are. What God wants me to do is, regardless of what's going on in the world around me, regardless of what's falling apart, regardless of what's crying out, fix me. Keep my focus on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And just keep pressing on toward that. And He's telling me to trust Him. He will provide. It's a true story, Stan. One time when I was living here in Texas, I went out to get the mail, and I pulled out a piece of paper from the electric company, and on it it said, you have a check here for $342. We overcharged you. Ooh, look at this. I got a check for $342. I didn't see that coming. And as I went through the rest of the mail, the rest of the story, there was a bill. I had no clue it was coming for guess how much? $340. Oh, okay. I went and deposited the check and it went and wrote the check. That actually happened. There was a time when Linda and I were newlyweds. I'll tell you, that's okay, I'll tell the story. Okay. We didn't have a whole lot. Matter of fact, you know how much money we had to our entire, our whole, all livelihood was $7. It's $7. And we didn't tell anybody, nobody knew that we didn't have any money. None. $7. That week, a different member of the church invited us to come eat with them every night. Every night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We didn't have to go buy groceries. Nobody knew where we were, and nobody else knew that others were inviting us. This never happened before or since. We ate wonderful the week we had nothing. Because we had God. He sees where we are. When you say, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. How many of you like Sam's? Oh! You know why I like Sam's? Because I like big chunks of cheese. Give me a month's worth of food. I want a big bag of beans. I want to store it away. Give us this day our daily bread. God's not going to promise you He's going to make you rich. He's promising you He'll provide for your needs. And sometimes your needs are going to be just this moment, this day. Right now. Where you are now. And so sometimes you got to keep thinking, I got to get more, I got to get more. I'm going to be in control of this. You're not in control of change. You're not in control of the temporary. It's temporary, and it doesn't matter how hard you work at it, it's going to stay temporary. So trust God. The fact that you're one of His children. That if you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He'll take care of you. I love this verse from Psalms 37, verse 5. I've been young, now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. You know, sometimes I don't worry about myself. I worry about my kids. Are they going to be able to survive? I don't need to worry. If you're striving to live the righteous life by faith, God sees this. And you are never going to be forsaken for God. Forget where you are, what you're going through physically. God's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. And He knows where you are, and He will provide. Trust God. Even when it seems like the bottom is completely falling out, trust God and keep your focus. And know that He'll even take care of your kids after you're gone. He'll take care of your family. Now then, we've talked about finances. Let's talk about changing age, changing health. Ecclesiastes says in chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now your creators in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Those of you that are young right now, enjoy it. Enjoy being young. I'm serious. Enjoy it. Your body's strong. Jump, run, play. Enjoy life to the fullest physically. But make sure you don't go into sin. Enjoy being young. Because I got something to tell you. If you live long enough, you won't get old. And notice how the scriptures describe getting old. The difficult days. It goes further describing the difficult days in detail in a very poetic way, very beautiful way. When it says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down. All right, let's stop and talk about each of these a little bit. The keepers of the house, that's your bones. And that's the idea. You got the shakes, the trembles. And the person that used to stand up strong, all of a sudden, you start bowing and bowing over a little bit. And he says, and the grinders cease because they are few. That's your teeth. Yeah, you start losing your teeth. And he says, and those that look through the windows grow dim. My eyes are what I see through. And you know one thing they did not have in ancient times? These call it thing glasses. And they didn't have cataract surgery. And so when you started losing your eyesight, it was gone and it's not coming back. The text continues and it says, and the doors of the house are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low. How many of you have a tendency to say this a lot? Huh? What? That's become a major part of our conversation. What? And notice he says, when one rises at the sound of a bird. How many of you struggle with sleep sometimes? And you just wake up in the middle of the night. How many of you are awake before the birds? Yeah, that's me sometimes. That's part of the difficult days. And he goes on further and he says, all the daughters of music are brought low. Again, it's difficult to hear. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. I got a quick time to tell you a quick story. When I was young, I was stupid. And my sister and I, we saw Tarzan. And we actually thought if he could swing through the trees, we could. And so when I was about 6 years old, you might want to cover your ears, your kids. We went in the backyard and climbed the pecan tree that was about 20 feet off the ground and started diving from one limb to another. And then after that, we decided after we conquered the pecan tree that we would go dive off the garage and swing down to the swing set. Yeah, we did that too. I dove off the garage when I was six. Yeah. Now, the last time I was on the top of a garage, I was trying to repair a dead tree at my son's house. And when I climbed up there, I was like, what am I doing up here? I can fall. All of a sudden, the person that was not afraid to dive off of the garage was terrified to be on top of the garage. And whenever I came down, I'm glad no one was filming it because it would have been a funny thing to watch the old man trying to get off the house, afraid to even get on the ladder. What happened? We learn as we get older, you can fall just standing up. I've seen people break their hip standing up. Yeah. And so you become afraid of the heights and terror in the ways. And he says, and the almond tree blossoms. You know what that is? Your hair turning white. And he says, the grasshopper's a burden and desire fails. You know what a grasshopper is? Yeah, that's the bug that we see, the little dinky bug. And the idea of a grasshopper being a burden is something that's easy to just thump it off. When you get older, things that at one time were light and easy to do are now difficult. As we get older, the body gets weaker. And things we could do easily when we were young, physically and mentally, become difficult. What do you do in the difficult days? Keep your focus on God. What do you do in the days of your youth? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth and get your focus on God now. By the way, the singing of the children tonight was beautiful. Man, that thrilled my heart. To hear your children singing out to our God. That was one of those beautiful things I heard in a long time. But in the days of your youth, young men, young ladies, remember your Creator, keep your focus on the eternal and get it there now. And those of us that are older, okay, you're going through the difficult days, having a difficult day physically, having a difficult day emotionally, okay, get up. And keep your focus on God and press on another day toward the goal. Let me give you one of my favorite verses on this. Oops, go back to it. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Outward man, temporary, perishing. We're doing the best we can to hang around as long as we can with what we got. Okay? The outward man is perishing, but look at the last part of this. The inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm going to ask you all a brief question. Simple question. What's the most beautiful thing in the world? Well, I told you tonight I like working with flowers. Flowers are beautiful, but they're not the most beautiful thing in the world. Sunrises and sunsets, you know, out in West Texas, man, the sunsets are amazing out there. Aren't they? I've seen some beautiful sunrises and sunsets. Not the most beautiful thing in the world. The most beautiful thing in the creation is woman. Period. All women. You go and you look up in the scriptures. When you find the word beauty, women. Not said about men. Women. All women, you are beautiful. But among women that are beautiful, there are the women that are the most beautiful. There are women that are very pretty on the outside, very ugly on the inside. In Mississippi, we used to say they got snakes in their head. You don't want to marry that woman. Pretty on the outside, beautiful on the inside. The most beautiful women out there are the God-fearing women. And among the women that are God-fearing women, the most beautiful God-fearing woman in the world is someone who's been in Christ for decades, striving to grow in the Christian attributes, putting them on when they begin the race of Christianity, and then striving to grow in all the Christian attributes. And by year after year after year, you're becoming more and more like Christ. I'm here to tell you the most beautiful thing in the world is the older Christian woman. You are beautiful now than you have ever been. And your light is more bright now than it has ever been. And Christ is shining through you more brightly now than it ever has. You are the most beautiful thing on this planet. The inner man being renewed day by day. Keep your focus on God, even though you're in a difficult time. Keep the focus on God and press on to the end of your goal. We had a report given to us today. A dear sister in Christ back in Searcy passed away. She was blind. She's one of the hardest workers I ever saw in my life. I talk about Dorcas. This woman made clothes for everybody. Even when she was blind, she was still making clothes for people and giving them away. But she died blind. And I texted her son-in-law and I said, but today she's with our Lord and she's seeing the most beautiful thing she's ever seen. Press on to the goal. Even though it's difficult days. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." Okay. Your body's temporary. Somewhere along the line, it's going to start falling apart. I don't care how much you eat well and how much you exercise. You're going to get older and you're going to get sick. And one of these days, you're going to go to the doctor and he's going to give you a bad report. And when you're told you got cancer, you got to get reoriented, don't you? You got to go forward with this. When you're told you had a heart attack, you got to get reoriented. And go forward with this. All of us here are going to have our own physical problems we're going to have to deal with in life. Our thorn in the flesh. And what happens when you have these things hit you? Yes, it's discouraging and it changes your life dramatically. But what we have to do is recognize, okay, I'm sick. Okay, I've got this problem. Okay, this is where I am. Now then. I need to reorient myself and go forward with this thorn. Paul finished his race in Christ with the thorn in his flesh. Whatever it was, he finished his race with it. You may never be healed of your thorn. You may carry it to your grave. But keep pressing on toward heaven. Don't allow the trials of this life to cause you to become so discouraged, you become angry at God and give up on God and Christianity because of how difficult the difficult days are. Keep your focus on God. Press on to the very end. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most assuredly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I am strong." Do you see Paul here anywhere feeling sorry for Paul? No. You don't see Paul here angry. When I am weak, then I'm strong. He was going to reorient, but he wasn't going to allow the thorn to cause him to stop seeking God and his kingdom. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12, 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." All right, we started this part of the sermon talking about remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You need to fear God and keep his commandments now. And as you're going through life, middle age, fear God and keep his commandments. And as you're growing older, fear God and keep his commandments. And as you're running the last mile of the way, fear God and keep his commandments. Run it all the way to the very close. Do not allow the physical difficulties of your life. And sometimes they come in the blink of an eye. We got a report last week of a young man in an accident. Healthy young man in his 20s. Driving back to California. Just got out of the car because it was raining and he hydroplaned off the road. Next thing he knew, somebody ran into him and he lost both of the legs.
Yeah.
Didn't see it coming. Blink of an eye. Life changes sometimes dramatically. Dramatically. Quickly. What do? You grieve. You hurt. You try to get back together as best as you can with what you still got. Press on toward that goal. With what you have to the very end. Do not allow the trials and the difficult days to cause you to give up and quit running. Genesis 2:24. Therefore a man shall leave his wife or his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. Read it correctly, Wayne. Now we're going to be talking about reorientation with changing relationships. Young men, listen to me now. There's going to come a time in your life, I don't know when it's coming, but you're going to have this experience. You're going to go, who's that? Because she's a pretty girl. And you want to find out who she is. And so you ask and you go introduce yourself to her and you start talking with her and you figure out she doesn't have snakes in her head. Not only is she physically pretty, but she's beautiful inside. And look, she's a God-fearing woman and she's for real. And you're going to find yourself drawn to her and attracted to her. And next thing you know, getting married will be the easiest thing you ever did. But I'm going to tell you, that day after you say, I do, there's going to be a realization in your life. Something's changed here. I got a wife. And I am responsible for being her helper physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I have to do the very best I can to provide for her needs in every way and help her get to heaven. I'm going there. I'm doing the very best I can to help you get there. And I'm telling you, folks, getting married is a big time reorientation in your life. A serious helping someone else get to heaven. And then after a while, your wife is going to come and she's going to say, guess what, honey? Yeah, we got a baby on the way. Psalm 113 verse 9 says, he grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Okay. When you hear that you got babies on the way, when the doctor said, you got twins, the first thing that came out of my mouth, I asked my wife, sorry, girl ladies, first thing that came out of my mouth is, we got to get a new car. But when you have that first baby, again, reorientation, all of a sudden, it's time to grow up. It's time to realize I am responsible for helping this child, my son or my daughter, to mold and shape their values, their hearts, their minds, and help them become Christians walking and living by their own faith so that they can seek God and keep His commandments. Tell you what, folks. You talk about reorienting your life. When you start having your own family, that's going to reorient you. Because then you're going to realize again, I'm responsible for this person. Try to help them make it to heaven. Now I want to go to Job. Job chapter 29, verses 1 through 2. Job further continued his discourse, said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me. You know, I like the holidays. I like being together with family. And when we all come together, for some reason, I get quiet. And I just kind of sit over in the corner and soak it all in. Just to be in their presence. Just to see them laughing. Just to see them enjoying one another. Listen real closely to me. Soak in your family. Every moment. Every second, Love your children. Love your husband. Love your wife. Love your grandkids. Soak them in. Because there's going to come a time when they may not be there. Job here is wishing for times past when God watched over him, and this is what he has to say about those times past. When the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, he was longing for those times when his children, whom he loved, all 10 of them, were around him, and he was just soaking them in. And now it's gone. You want to know something that's going to shake you to your core and talk about breaking you down and hurting you? Death of someone you love. And it's probably happened to everybody here already. Your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your children, people you love deeply. It's temporary. Everyone you see here is temporary. And so the times and the moments that you are allowed to be with them, soak it in. Live it and enjoy it to the fullest. And thank God for it. Because there's going to come a time when that moment may never be again. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 3 through 5 says, honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now look at the rest of this. Now she who is really a widow and left alone, trust in God and continually is in supplication and prayers night and day. There's a lot of ladies here tonight, I'm sure, who can tell you this. How difficult is it to go forward when your husband, who is your lover, your helper, the great individual with whom you are one, is gone? And now you have to go forward in life without your husband. This scripture is about you. You keep praying to God night and day. You go to God. You keep pressing on. Even in the difficult times, the difficult days, when your body is getting weaker and the mind is getting weaker and people who you love dearly are now no longer around you. Okay, I'm sorry, that's reality. Now, keep your focus and keep going forward. Okay? Keep going forward. Psalm says in chapter 61 and verse 2, from the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. What I've been talking to you about in the sermon this evening are the difficult times of life, the difficult times in finances. Everybody here has gone through it. You're going to go through it sometimes. Difficult times financially. Difficult times physically. With illnesses, with thorns in the flesh, with just growing old in the days of difficulty. Changes in our family. Changes in ourself. Changes in our body. Changes in our family. Changes in finances. It keeps changing, changing, changing. But what does not change is eternal. We need to set our mind on the eternal. And as we keep getting hit by the changes, and then reorient ourselves and wake up and go, okay, where am I? Okay, this is where I am now. I need to keep my focus and set my attention on what's above. And keep pressing on to it. Do not allow the difficulty of this life and the sorrow and the grief to cause you to keep pressing on to the end of your race. Run by faith, live by faith all the way to the very close of your life. And brethren, listen to me on this. There's going to come a time when we're going to finish our race. There's going to come a time when the Lord will come again and the resurrection will take place and we will all be together. It is real and it's coming and it's not that far from us because our life is like a vapor. We're here for a little while and then we're gone. So while we're here, set your mind on things that are above. And when you get hit hard sometimes, reorient yourself, figure out where you are, and look out and look for the rock that's higher than you. You know why you need to go to the rock? Because that's stability there. God is stable. God will not change. God loves you. And sometimes when you find yourself on your way to the rock, you don't jump up on it like king of the mountain. You slowly claw your way up onto it and just lay there until you're able to get up on your feet again and get reoriented and draw strength from God and press on towards your God. I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening who is not in Christ yet, it is our most fervent hope and desire that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day, if you have this faith and you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, be willing to confess your faith, driven by your faith, make the commitment of repentance, and we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in Christ already and you're going through difficult times, trying times, and you're finding yourself struggling in your relationship with God, and if you've even gone into sin, the brethren here will pray for you and pray with you. Come and confess the sin to God and turn from it, and then get up and keep pressing on toward the goal. Finish your race. All of you, finish it in Christ. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know. We stand and sing the song of the Bissell.